we have another option for this first reading. It's Exodus 19, verses 3 to 20, with some verses in between omitted. I think the editors do that so that the Mass doesn't take too long, I guess. When they don't do it, like Easter Vigil, we have a big, long... okay, well, we don't have that here now. This is the giving of the law. And again, it's a question of the Holy Spirit. You see, this is Pentecost. Why this text about Moses going up? Because he gives the law. And that's the law in its totally elevated and transformed state that dwells in our heart. The new law is the Holy Spirit. And so this law is written in our hearts and made active by the work and inspiration of the Holy Spirit, which can move us beyond not contradicting, but beyond the law. And so this text goes, you see, Moses, they're all at Sinai. Moses went up to the mountain of God. And then the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, "This is what you shall say to the house of Jacob. Tell the Israelites, you have seen how I treated the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me completely and keep my covenant, you will be my treasured possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine." Okay? Now, this is this line here. Now, archaeological research has discovered for us a form of covenant. I think I've mentioned this before. It's called the Hittite suzerainty treaties, where the big shot king says to the lesser king, "You've seen all the things I've done for you. Now, you must respond and keep all these stipulations of the covenant." Now, you notice, which is so interesting, that the motive for keeping this covenant is gratitude. I think I even told you once about Shubilulilumas and Dupitesuk. Shubilulilumas was the big shot, and Dupitesuk was the little shot. And so I, Shubilulilumas, the sun king, when your brother tried to take the throne from you, I protected you. And when this and that happened, I took care of that for you. Now, you must agree that if any slaves from my kingdom escape into yours, you'll return them. If any enemy starts to attack me, you will come to my aid, and so forth. Now, you see, you do all this because of what I did for you. That's why the Lord starts, you see. You saw how I treated the Egyptians. I wiped them out. And how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, in gratitude. So you see, obedience to God is founded in gratitude. Even this so-called law, it's a law, the Torah. Torah doesn't exactly mean law, it means instruction, which is very important. There's a text in the book of Proverbs. Son, listen to the words of your father and follow the Torah of your mother. She has Torah, you see. And if you do that, you will be to me a kingdom of priests. Of course, as you know, all of these things are a little bit different in, it's hard to translate is what I'm trying to say. This is what you must tell the Israelites. So Moses went and summoned the elders of the people, and he set before them all that the Lord had ordered him to tell them. All the people answered together, "Everything the Lord has said we will do." We agree. All the people. Then Moses brought back to the Lord the response of the people. Then there's a long section here from verses 9 to 15, which is not in the text, about the Lord coming down and the cloud and the fire and all the rest, John. And then the text picks up again. You know, this part is in the letter to the Hebrews, right? You have not come to a mountain that can't be touched with smoke and fire. You've come to Mount Zion, where the people are gathered. The angels are there. In other words, there's been an upgrade of the covenant. Now the covenant is the Holy Spirit himself, and he dwells in you. Isn't what the Lord promised through Jeremiah? Yes. Days are coming, says the Lord, and I will make a new covenant. A brand new covenant, not like the old one I made when I took your fathers out of Egypt and I became their Lord. This is the new one. I will write my law in your heart. And everybody will know me. Nobody has to say know the Lord in the sense of know him or recognize his authority, because know means both in Hebrew. Everybody will know me from the least to the greatest. Why? Because I will remember their sins no more. Now this is the old covenant, a precious covenant. It made this people a recognizable people. This people has edges. They're the Jews. They're not the Assyrians or the Babylonians or the Romans. They're the Jews. And what makes them the Jews is the covenant, the Brit. That's why, as John Paul II says, this Brit has never been revoked. It's been completed, but it's never been revoked. Okay. So, third day, you see. On the third day, well, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about these other things. See, have the people sanctify themselves. Set limits for the people. I'm reading part of the text that we don't have for the reading. Take care not to go up the mountain or even to touch it. No hand shall touch them. They must be stoned to death or killed with arrows. This is what the letter to the Hebrews says. You know, this isn't the kind of mountain you've come to now. You see, you've come to a different kind of mountain. It's a very beautiful text. And it's alluding in its own way, you see, to, here it is. What you have come to is nothing known to the senses, not a blazing fire or gloom turning to total darkness or a storm or trumpeting thunder or the great voice speaking which made everyone that heard it beg that no more it should be said to them. In other words, he's talking about this very text that we're reading. Okay. Moses came down from the mountain to the people and had them sanctify themselves, and they washed their garments. He said to the people, be ready for the third day. Do not approach a woman. That third day is the third day of Cana. If you can remember way back when we had the gospel on Cana, I pointed that out. Next day, next day, next day, next day, and finally in chapter 2, verse 1, on the third day refers to the liturgical tradition that surrounds the feast of the renewal of the covenant. Okay. On the morning of the third day, there were peals of thunder and lightning, a heavy cloud over the mountain, and a very loud blast of the shofar, the trumpet, so that all the people in the camp trembled. Moses led the people out of the camp to meet God, and they stationed themselves at the foot of the mountain. Now, Mount Sinai was completely enveloped in smoke, because the Lord had come down upon it in fire. The smoke rose from it as though from a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled violently. The blast of the shofar grew louder and louder while Moses was speaking and God was answering him with thunder. When the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain, the Lord summoned Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. This is the introduction to the law. It's very beautiful, but it's very powerful. You see this fire, this cloud, the mountains, the whole mountain is trembling, there's lightning, there's thunder. To impress the people, this is serious, folks. This is serious. And that's what this text in Hebrews is saying. That's not the mountain you came to, you see. It goes on to say, what you have come to is Mount Zion. That's the city, that's the mountain. In the city of the living God, the new Mount Zion, which is Jerusalem, and the mount in Jerusalem. Of course, that's the Jerusalem that comes down from heaven to meet God like a bride that Revelation talks about. Okay. And so, and Moses went up. Now, the psalm that goes with this reading, either reading actually, is all about the Holy Spirit. So I want to just give you a little bit of it. Lord, send out your Spirit and renew the face of the earth. This is Psalm 104. Starts off, bless the Lord, my soul. Oh, my God, you are great indeed. And they skip a few verses there. Bless goes, bless the Lord, oh, my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Because he's forgiven all of your sins. He's healed all your ills, you see. How manifold are your works, O Lord. The earth is full of your creatures. And then goes on to talk about the wonders of creation. And it says that if you take away their breath, they perish and return to their dust. Because you are the Lord of all breath, of all spirit. Ruach means both breath and spirit. You're the Lord of all of that. If you take away their breath, they perish and return to their dust. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. You see why this psalm was taken, right? It's the, we live by the Spirit. Then the psalm ends with praise. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord be glad in his works. Pleasing to him be my theme. I will rejoice in the Lord. And so you see, this psalm, which goes with both of the readings, see, it goes with that first reading where we're talking about Genesis. And it prepares for the reading from Acts. Huh? Because you see, just as man's sin and man's trying to create a world without God and be safe on their own, scatters them across the face of the earth. You can't even understand one another. So Pentecost, the presence of the Spirit, gathers them back. You can all understand them. That's the gift. And that still happens. I personally know men who are preached in Russia and elsewhere without knowing a word of Russian. And they speak English and everybody hears it in Russian. Still happens. Because the Lord does not want his word to be hampered by our human weakness. So he makes up, which is quite beautiful, don't you think? So that's why we have this text that, and this, the hymn, if you look at the whole hymn, you see, what we have here is a hymn about creation, and it's beautiful. And so, why creation? Material universe. On this day, there's an icon. It's called the Pentecost icon. At the top is a woman. That's the church. And that's Mary at the same time. Because they talk about them interchangeably. When you paint this icon of the church, that is of Mary. I can show you a line that says that. And then the apostles on either side, sort of like at a table. And underneath is an old man. And he's holding out his hands like this. And he's receiving the Spirit the same as everybody else. Who's that old man? That's old man Cosmos. That's the material universe being blessed by the Holy Spirit so that water and bread and wine and oil and hands can mediate divine life.